You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
June the 4th, 2020, President Trump says New York is a disaster. He says it's a disaster what's going on in New York. We can help them, but they got to ask. If they don't get it straightened out, I'll take care of it. He's talking about the violence in the streets. Three police officers attacked last night. They were not even trying to watch over a protest or any rioting. They were simply going down the street checking for any looting possibilities. When they were basically ambushed. New York Police Department Commissioner said we're lucky they were not planning funerals today. The Minnesota Attorney General now increasing the charges against Derek Chauvin. Of course, the former cop who pressed his knee against George Floyd's neck for 8+ minutes. Raising the charge from third-degree murder to second-degree murder. And the other three officers on the scene, they are also going to be charged, possibly as accessories to second-degree murder. This stat coming up at a time that we have seen, because of the violence in the streets, people showing up and protecting their own property because they know police can't be everywhere at all times. More than 2 million Americans have now become first-time gun owners this year. And that number is no doubt going to increase because of what's happening in our streets now. The pandemic continues, and of course we're trying to turn things around and get the businesses back up and running, but millions of Americans still filing for unemployment benefits as the coronavirus recession continues. Another 1.9 million filing for initial unemployment. The U.S. Labor Department now reports that a quarter of our labor force, 42.6 million, have claimed benefits since the pandemic began. New York City, by the way, is hoping to reopen on Monday. That's at least the last report. The mayor says we're going to also provide 2 million free face coverings for employees through Monday. But they're trying to open up New York City with Phase 1 on Monday. Phase 2, they say, don't expect that to open before maybe as early as July. Phase 1, New York reopening, means retail can reopen for pickup orders. Some industries, such as construction, can resume operations. Phase 2 will allow restaurants to open for limited outdoor seating. And that, apparently, again, not until July. At last check, the U.S. has 1.8 million pandemic cases, COVID cases confirmed, 108,000 deaths. President Trump has made it clear that if Charlotte, North Carolina cannot agree that the August convention for the GOP will be held the way the Republicans want to run it, that they will not be constrained by any closures fearing coronavirus, then he will look for another place. Other states now looking for an opportunity to get the convention. Republican Governor DeSantis saying, I think my state can do it. We're ready to do it. We'll start it right away. We'll be ready for them in August. We can do it in a safe way. New survey out. New survey. This is a Fox News poll. Fox News poll. Showing the presumptive Democrat nominee Joe Biden leading Trump in Ohio, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Now, Trump carried Ohio by 8 points in 2016. And Democrats had abandoned any hope that they might be able to get that state back in 2020. This survey indicates that it might be possible. Of course, it's still early. And the survey and the poll that counts is the voting poll. You know, in the midst of all of our violence in our streets, and I'm not talking about just the First Amendment protected protest and marches. I'm talking about the violence, the arson, the looting, the attacks. You know who's stepping forward to endorse all of that action? the Iranian parliament. The Iranian parliament issuing a statement declaring, quote, black Americans, quote, have been unable to breathe for decades under the pressure of racial terrorism by the U.S. regime. So now those in the streets, in addition to protesting and burning and looting, those who are doing that, you're getting support from the Iranian parliament. Feel good about that? We do have some good news out of Iran. Michael White, the first American detained in Iran during the Trump administration, being released. The 48-year-old U.S. Navy veteran now coming home. Took 4 months of negotiations between State Department officials and the Iranian government, but he's coming home. The nightmare for Michael White is over.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Crazy for thinking that my love could hold you. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
These are not acts of peaceful protest. These are acts of domestic terror. The destruction of innocent life and the spilling of innocent blood is an offense to humanity and a crime against God. America needs creation, not destruction. Cooperation, not contempt. Security, not anarchy.
That is President Trump from earlier this week. I wanted to play it again because I continue to see on the mainstream media and from the left politicians, we need a leader. We need a president who will unify. Those are unifying remarks, and he's backed it up with what he's been doing. But yes, you've got to control the streets. We cannot have anarchy in the streets. If we had a president that was simply willing to say, you know, do what you need to, we'll figure it out after everything is burned and looted. Do you really want that? I look back at what happened in Minneapolis after that first night of rioting. Obviously in response to the death of Greg Floyd and what took place then. And of course, protests are one thing. Protest and doing what's provided by the U.S. Constitution and allowing you to do it in a peaceful fashion. Burning, looting, attacking, that's not guaranteed First Amendment rights. But on that night in Minneapolis when it began to get out of control the first time, a police district headquarters was under attack, under direct assault. And for a time, police had a fence up around the headquarters trying to protect it, and officers were there ready. But then a decision was made, and supposedly it ended up coming from the mayor's office. Give up the police headquarters, just move out, let them have it. And they did. They rushed in, burned it, looted. And I thought that set a very bad example of what should be happening moving forward. And it did, because it's certainly given an invitation to others. Minneapolis has been quiet the last few nights, as have many other places, because the governors were told by President Trump, if you do not get control of it, I will invoke the Insurrection Act and I'll be sending in U.S. military troops. Or I'll take control of the National Guard from you, and we will be running the show. The governors have admitted or acknowledged, anyway, that they need to do something. But yet the violence continues in some sections. New York, last night, three police officers attacked. Today, the New York Police Commissioner, Dermot Shea, had these remarks.
It appears to be a completely cowardly, despicable, unprovoked attack on a defenseless police officer, and thank God we're not planning a funeral right now. The men and women of this police department should not have to withstand any more, not one more attack. I think we are all fed up with what we're seeing in many levels. This violence has to stop.
It has to stop. You cannot give it an allowance. You cannot say, well, we understand, which is what I'm getting from a lot of the left media. Well, you know, they're upset. We understand why they're upset. That's reason to go in the street and protest peacefully, not to riot, loot, and burn. And the problem there is that too many on the left, they want it both ways. They want to say, well, we recognize that they have a right and they shouldn't do that and we don't condone it, but they stop short of condemning it. They stop short of calling them out. Who wants to be a police officer nowadays? Who wants to put on a badge and go on patrol? Who wants to stand in that line as they are spitting at you and then begin to throw rocks or bottles or fire bullets at you? I'll remind you again, a lot of those men and women in law enforcement are also members of the minority community. You think they signed on just to go beat up other members of their community? You might think white cops did it for that reason, but do you really think minority officers did that as well? Or did they do it to protect and serve the minority community? So who wants to be a police officer nowadays, when in fact you're often held back by political decisions? That's been the argument coming out of New York lately. I've got a statement here in front of me from a retired New York Police Department lieutenant. He said, our city is in a state of chaos because of Mayor Bill de Blasio's inability to push forward a sense of leadership. He said, we're not getting proper leadership, or when we do, it's poor leadership. He points out something I'd mentioned the other day, almost taking my words. We've closed the gate after the horses escaped. Then he added, City Hall is dictating police policy. It's not coming from one police plaza. That is a former detective. And then the president of the NYPD Detective Union said, we know what we can do. We know what we should do, and we know how to do it. We're well trained. But we're not being allowed to do our job. And then he points out something that we brought to the forefront previously for you. In New York State, they passed the no-bail laws that allow a lot of criminals to simply be released back on the streets immediately. They don't have to post bail. Just sign a notice that they were brought in and that they could go. And that includes child molesters and some other sex crimes and such things as that. So if they are arrested, brought in right now for throwing a rock through a window, maybe a Molotov cocktail, they might be simply signing a waiver and go right back out on the streets. And the New York Police Department union president said, they create these laws and people go out and victimize the properties of the people of the city. They get arrested. It's a revolving door. And again, they, the politicians that created the laws, they blame us, the police, for not doing the job. Nearly all the rioters in D.C. have been freed from jail, already freed from jail. And most have had felony riot charges dropped. So they're now facing only burglary or destruction of property, curfew violation charges. Those bail reform laws and this loose attitude and look for an easy way out is going to destroy this country if we let it continue. The head of the Lieutenants Benevolent Association in New York says the violence, the demonstrations we've been seeing, it's a byproduct of that law that requires defendants to be released without cash bail on a long list of misdemeanors and some of those felonies, including arson and burglary, the exact things they were arrested and brought in for the other day, and they're being turned loose again. Well, on one hand, you've got the bail reform laws. On the other hand, you've got prosecutors not doing their jobs. In other cases, you've got politicians stepping in and saying, well, let's don't get too hard here. Let's back off. And then when things go upside down, the first thing they do is exactly that. They blame the police. You're not doing your job. Get out of the way and let them do their job. St. Louis City is now dealing with something like that. The story, when I first saw it, I was probably like you, and I thought, I cannot believe this again. But after taking a closer look at it, I'm afraid I'm going to have to say I kind of understand. I don't like it. Here's what happened. Police confirming that 36 different folks arrested Sunday and Monday night for rioting and looting in St. Louis were released. Monday night, of course, is when shots were fired on police and four officers were hit. The St. Louis City Circuit Attorney released them. And immediately the Missouri Attorney General, Eric Schmidt, Republican, the city attorney, is Democrat, Circuit Attorney Kim Gardner. The Missouri Attorney General said, in a stunning development, we learned that every single one of the St. Louis looters and rioters arrested were released back onto the streets by local prosecutor Kim Gardner. And the Missouri Attorney General added, this wasn't one person looting and rioting and shooting at police officers. Not one of them could have been charged. It's absurd. Gardner had expressed anger over the events that happened Monday night, including the shots at the police officers. She had added, what happened was not about nonviolent protest. But then 36 released. So the Missouri Attorney General is calling her out. She had a quick, terse response to the Missouri Attorney General.
While the AG continues to fuel the division in the community at a time of great pain, suffering, and racial divide, my response to the AG, I got work to do.
In other words, kiss off. I know what I'm doing. Now, you might look at that, and I do too, as kind of a harsh response. Justified? It's a political scenario to some extent. Garner's been under focus and attack previously for way too lenient in some cases. At last report, neither she nor the Missouri Attorney General have actually talked about this. They're just firing their statements back and forth. But as quick as we can rush to judgment against the St. Louis Circuit Attorney for letting all of these guys go, she offered this response as a why. Please listen.
The police department brought to my office a group of eight individuals involving stealing for prosecution. We need the police to bring admissible evidence to charge. My office cannot issue any case when there is not admissible evidence, point blank.
That I cannot argue against. If the police were not able to bring the evidence and get it in front of her within 24 hours, you got to let them go. That's the law. You're not filing a charge just in 24 hours. Now, would there have been a way if you had an aggressive, prosecutor that was more interested in not just appealing to the Democrat left? She can use the law and say 24 hours, don't have it, cut them loose. But more aggressive effort would be get something to me and do it immediately. Now, I don't mean make it up, but refocus on this. Police probably extremely strained at this point anyway, so they cannot put all the resources into such an investigation they would like at this point. But it has to be an essential part of what they're doing. But you can also catch the response, again, from Kim Gardner, her opening, the first statement you heard a moment ago, as she said that she made it clear in her response in that first statement to her attitude about the Missouri Attorney General.
While the AG continues to fuel the division in the community at a time of great pain, suffering, and racial divide, my response to the AG, I got work to do.
Got work to do. Well, make sure you do it. CNN ignored a death throughout the midst of this rioting. One that happened in St. Louis. I want to examine that in a moment.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Coming in, I'll be close to your mind, kind of mind, so big and so strong.
Larry Connors, USA.
I pointed out previously that since these riots have begun, we've had at least four, five Americans of color killed. Not by police, but killed in the rioting. In one case, a man trying to jump between two trailers on a FedEx truck and was dragged to his death. That was a stupid move. They were already trying to steal stuff out of the truck at the time anyway, while it was on the highway, stopped for other traffic. Another case, one of the first cases was a federal marshal. A black federal marshal killed on one of the early riots. You don't see much coverage about that from mainstream media, because that might show innocent victims taken down by the violence caused by rioters, not police. CNN all over covering the protests and certainly the violence when it shows police against the rioters, but otherwise they kind of sidestep it. In one recent case, right out of St. Louis, David Dorn, a retired St. Louis police captain, 77 years of age. He was helping a friend who had a pawn shop. The alarm went off that it was being burglarized during the looting. David Dorn went to check on it, and he was gunned down around 2:30 in the morning in front of that shop that had been looted, because some of those taking part in the riots thought, let's break in here and see what we can get. And one person decided to kill David Dorn. Obviously, civilian at that point, not in uniform, but that's obviously no excuse, is it? CNN never did a report on that death. Oh, they put it on their website, a little piece on the website, but not on the network's ongoing coverage. And the only reason they put it on the website in the beginning was because President Trump made some remarks about David Dorn. President Trump, on his tweet, said, "Our highest respect to the family of David Dorn, a great police captain from St. Louis, who was viciously shot, killed by despicable looters last night. We honor our police officers perhaps more than ever before. Thank you." So CNN ran the president's tweet and then added the story about David Dorn. Otherwise, they were going to ignore it, because it didn't fit the narrative. And we've already heard from CNN anchor Chris Cuomo. He said, "Show me where protesters have to be polite and peaceful." I would say, Chris, look at the First Amendment and the Constitution. You're guaranteed the right of peaceful assembly. Peaceful. But Cuomo says, no, police are the ones required to be peaceful, to de-escalate, to remain calm. Yes, they are supposed to try to do that. And you, in your position, you should be using your podium to push that same message, not basically saying protesters don't have to be polite nor peaceful. And Don Lemon, I want to go back to him and what he said the other day. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com. Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Ooh, they're red, white, and blue. And when the band plays, hail to the chief. Ooh, they point the cannon at you. Now, it ain't me. It ain't me.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Donald Trump standing in front of a church with a Bible? Really? Let's just be honest here. When was the last time Donald Trump saw a church? Even before he was president of the United States. When was the last time he cracked open a Bible? I'm just saying, this is all for show. Donald Trump is pretending in this moment to be a president. Let's just all be real about this. He's pretending to be a president. He is mimicking the person that he adores, his hero, George Patton, and he wants to return to some sort of 1950s sort of dominance for America.
Don Lemon of CNN the other day. That was reference to President Trump the other day walking from the White House to St. John's Episcopal Church. The president was asked about that in an interview as to why did you do it. And he said, well, somebody suggested it. I thought it was a good idea. I said, let's do it. It was, in my view, in the view of many, a statement that we can have and should have a right to walk through our streets without fear. Now, of course, he's surrounded by Secret Service and protection. We all understand that. But he was still vulnerable at several spots along that walk. But the left couldn't accept it at all. Don Lemon, as you heard, said it was all fake. It was just acting out. And then, of course, they were also spreading the story that the park police and Secret Service were pushing protesters aside and using violence against them, even tear gas. Yeah, that story went around several times. I have a relative who did not like Trump doing that because, in part, the protesters were treated that way. When they were not rioting or anything, they were just in the way and they moved them aside. That was the story they had heard, and that was what they went with. We have an official statement from the United States Park Police regarding that event and the charge that they used tear gas and violence against those in the park. The Park Police, a federal law agency, said, despite the rioters' actions, we did not use tear gas. Numerous protesters were violent, many officers injured, about 50 members of their force, and something like 20 Secret Service agents were injured. But no arrests were made. And yes, they were moving them out of the way so the president could walk over to the church. Some folks are never going to accept the fact that if he wanted to go, he shouldn't have done it then. And they're going to use it, as Don Lemon said, all for show. You could call it a photo op. It was a photo op to show that the president can walk down the street. Obviously, he's got to be surrounded. But it's really trying to show the resilience of the nation and that you should be able to walk down the street. And you should be able to do it without Secret Service and everyone around you. But here's what the Park Police said about the event that was taking place. He said, as we moved forward, we did so only after giving numerous warnings, at least three warnings over a loudspeaker, to evacuate the area. He said, and the protesters began throwing projectiles, including bricks, frozen water bottles, and caustic liquids, climbing onto an historic building at the north end of Lafayette Park, and calling out for more violence against police. And officers found stashes of glass bottles, baseball bats, and metal poles hidden along the street. But again, we issued three warnings over loudspeaker, clear the area. You have a peaceful demonstration, but police say clear the area three times and you don't move, you can expect them to move you. The park police saying as we began to go through, protesters became combative, throwing things, trying to grab the officers' weapons. And then officers did use smoke canisters and pepper balls, but no tear gas. But of course, to the left, the fact that Trump walks across to the church and then held a Bible. Oh, that was really what broke it for many on the left. Again, the words of Don Lemon Fruitcake.
This is all acting, it's all a show, and he is performing in this country what he thinks a leader should be like and what he thinks a president of the United States should be like. But guess what? This is a very, very dangerous game. He is possibly igniting tension. Not possibly, he is igniting tensions, I know more. I hope this doesn't turn out to backfire on him, because if it does, it's not going to play out well.
No, they don't really care if it backfires. They hope it does, but he would call the president out for doing that and yet not call out his other CNN anchor who's on right ahead of him, Chris Cuomo, saying, who says these protests have to be peaceful and polite? And, of course, holding the Bible. Here they come, the left. Gabby Orr, White House reporter for Politico. She made some remarks also regarding Trump holding the Bible. She was going to be a very good investigative reporter. She said, well, why didn't he pray? Why didn't he pray? Why didn't he offer words of comfort as he stood in front of a church? Why didn't he open the Bible he brought as a prop and read aloud from it? She said, maybe a verse from Corinthians. So if he holds the Bible, he's accused of using it as a prop. If he had started reading from it, would that have lessened their thoughts that he's using it as a prop? Nope. And, of course, there was backlash immediately against her. She was still trying to defend it, saying, look, if he had prayed and I was standing there in my capacity as a reporter, I would have bowed my head and prayed with him. That's what she says. I don't know. But again, who's the arbiter to decide if you are really with God or not, or if you're just kind of living your whole life as a fake, that you say you're such a good, godly person? We all are sinners, and we all fall short. But here we've got her making this attitude and taking it that, as Don Lemon did, he's a fake. And when did he last go to church? When did he pray? What does he pray? Well, if you're going to talk about using the Bible as a quote, I mean a prop, why didn't they go after Nancy Pelosi and what she did the other day? Following the president and his walk across to the church and holding the Bible, Nancy Pelosi brought a Bible to the podium as she was speaking. And inside the Bible, she lifted out some remarks, quoting the book of Ecclesiastes. But then she also read quotes from former President Bush and former President Obama. She lifted them out of the Bible as if they were basically the text of the Bible, the words of Bush and Obama coming direct from the Bible. Was she using the Bible as a quote at that point? And holding the Bible and saying there's appointed time for everything, referring to Ecclesiastes. And then still holding the Bible with those note papers inside, she began to read more statements from Bush and Obama. I didn't see anybody on the left saying Pelosi's using the Bible as a prop. She did not have the Bible in hand while she was reading the quotes from Bush and Obama. And she didn't have to put them inside the Bible and then lift them out as if they were part of the good book word. The hypocrisy is sickening on a constant basis. I like to think that gradually we're calling them out enough that it's going to hurt them. We are seeing ratings continue to plummet for Anderson Cooper, probably the lowest rated network program of cables that we've seen. Don Lemon apparently not far behind, but I do know this for a fact, according to some of the latest numbers, for the month of May anyway. MSNBC's most popular program, their most popular program, the Rachel Maddow Show, in a nosedive. It finished the month of May behind five different Fox News programs. And as I said, her numbers going down. Anderson Cooper was able to tire in one of the key demos during May. Cuomo actually beat her at one point. But Maddow, losing viewers for three straight months, while supposedly everybody be really concerned about what's happening in between the pandemic and, of course, now the death of George Floyd and everything that's followed. One analyst says, a Cornell Law School professor, said her success was a one-trick pony. That trick was Russia-Trump conspiracy theories. And after the Mueller report, her decline was inevitable. She got a respite due to impeachment hysteria, but now that too has passed. No reason for anyone except the hardcore left to watch her. Her decline could be permanent unless some other political paranoid delusion draws people back to her. I'm not shedding any tears for her demise. Not one single tear. Have you been called a racist? Does it bother you that someone would label you that when you know you're not? And what about what happened with Drew Brees? Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All of us should be. If you're not, I don't understand. You should be sickened by what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis the other day with the officer with his knee in the back of his neck. As he continued to say repeatedly, "I can't breathe," and it stayed like that for 8+ minutes. A couple other incidents have been documented, one in Tacoma, Washington, I think, and also one in Florida, where officers also using a knee on the back of a neck told a suspect down, but they didn't hold them that long. And at the same time, it's policy, an officer can use that normally if the subject is still resisting. But the case in Minneapolis, he was already handcuffed, face down, he wasn't resisting whatsoever. And I wouldn't care the color of the man on the ground or the officer holding him down. It is wrong. It's not about race. I know many of the black community believe, well, it's part of the systematic attack upon black communities by police. I will tell you, coming out of the South, I understand that some of that did exist and still does. But also recognize all the officers, regardless of their color or gender, the job they do on a daily basis to truly protect and serve. Loyal listener up in Chicago, Andrew, sent me something. He said, "I also was sickened by it." He said, "I know myself enough to state I don't possess a racist bone in my body." He said, "I think when they start doing that, it's basically race baiting." I think that's true. So he said, "I had something that had come up." He said, "I'd been told repeatedly it's critical I have a conversation with my daughters about race." And he said, "Chicago Public Schools came to the rescue, sending out an email attaching a resource for having such a discussion with my children." He said, "It was posted by the National Museum of African American Culture and History." He said, "I see no problem with using the museum as a resource, but then as I began to look at it and read through it," he said, "the message is you need to connect with your racial identity and be proud of yourself unless you're white." And he attached part of the pamphlet dealing with whiteness, stating, "Since white people in America hold most of the political, institutional, and economic power, they receive advantages that non-white groups do not." It's already setting the tone, isn't it? And yes, there are white people who have marginalized other people, but it's not always about race. It's sometimes just accepting that it's wrong. And it's wrong if a black person has a racist attitude toward a white person, which we have been seeing more and more lately. It's still racism. You cannot say all lives matter. Black lives matter. People get so upset, say, "That's not you're demeaning our message." No, I'm just reinforcing all lives matter. And, of course, we had a NBA Sacramento Kings announcer the other day. He ended up resigning, but he was under threat of being fired because he dared say all lives matter. And then he suddenly started apologizing. "Well, I just wasn't aware that that would hurt the Black Lives Matter movement." Doesn't hurt the Black Lives Matter movement, in my opinion, but of course he paid the price for it. And then look what happened to Saints quarterback Drew Brees. He was asked the other day, "What do you think about kneeling when the American flag is being presented?" And he said, "I will disagree with anyone who does that. That's disrespectful to the American flag." He said, "Every time I see it, I think of my grandfathers, both of them fighting in World War II. And what happened then? Here comes the left and the attackers, calling those comments controversial. He's not entitled to have his view, right? He's not entitled to have his statement without being controversial. He just said, I would disagree with you. And I'm doing it because I think of what my grandfathers did." And yet he got labeled as controversial and the pressure put on some of his teammates doing the same thing, sharing outrage, that Brees ended up having to retract his statements and saying, "I would like to apologize to my friends, teammates, the city of New Orleans, the black community, NFL community, anyone I hurt with those comments. That was not his intent. He said, I was attempting to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity around the American flag and the national anthem. And then he adds, because he's been criticized, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we're facing. I disagree, Drew Brees. I disagree. When you said that you disrespect anyone who disrespects the American flag, you're entitled to that opinion. Same as they're entitled to say they're going to take a knee because they disrespect the flag. Their First Amendment right. Your First Amendment right, however, has to be contained. And unless you follow and fall in line, you will be punished. Is that bringing us closer to unity in the country? I keep hearing inclusiveness, and yet I keep hearing and saying at the same time, no, it's our way or no way. That's not helping our nation. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.